And let me say that this evening, I truly do. And I mean this as honestly as I know how. I pray, I ask, that our Lord bless this service this evening. You know, so often we'll make statements like that, and it's almost like, well, we've said that so many times, we just expect that's what you're expected to say. I truly desire to be sincere. I want that. This evening, I'd like for you to turn to Romans 15. I'm going to say something out of the book of John. Romans 15, verses 30 to 33. As we were considering a moment ago while you're turning to Romans 15, I was thinking back just a few moments ago. We were in Brother Todd's study. Scripture was read. Prayer was had. We came in to the sanctuary and Scripture was read. Prayer was had. And I thought on the Scripture that was actually read when he said, turn to John 17. I thought on our conversation all day today, which is on prayer. And here was the Master, our blessed Lord and Savior, our federal head, God, the Word who was made flesh, God made flesh. He who came into this world as the representative of all that the Father had everlastingly loved. Sovereign God. In all of my feeble attempts to try to express something of His majesty, Luke, I'm just lost at what to say. And here is the one that the Father uttered from heaven these words, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Now this is God speaking. And here is the Lord Jesus Christ praying. He who spoke everything, He who made everything, by Him all things consist. I told Brother Todd this afternoon, we believe, and we do believe, in God's absolute sovereignty. We love to speak of Him who is God. He who does as He will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. He who absolutely has purposed, and His counsel is going to stand. And I know that. I believe that. And here is God Himself, God man, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, praying. Well, we got to verse 11 of John 17. It says, "And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." Praying the Lord Jesus Christ, praying the Father to keep through his own name, his own character, those whom he had given to the Lord Jesus Christ. As we rode over this afternoon, this statement was made. I jotted this down. It says, if our perception of God's sovereignty leads us to forsake prayer, we have a wrong perception of his sovereignty. Let me tell you how we are. Because I know how I am. And I just feel that we all pretty well think the same way. Almighty God is the sovereign God. He's going to do his will. God is going to do what he's purposed to do. And that's absolutely right. And I know that. And I'm so thankful for that. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. You have not because you ask not. Romans 15. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Rome. In the last three verses of the 15th chapter, he says, "Now, verse 30, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may be and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all." Prayer. That which every believer, I know, exercises but readily admits to feel himself to be weak in. Prayer. The asking, the thanking, the crying of the new heart that longs for communion with him who's everlastingly loved him. I want to pray. I want to talk to him. I want to bare my heart to him. I want to be honest. It's the expression of the new heart that hungers to approach him who chose to show mercy to me. He said, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion." Bob, I want to talk to him. It's so good to talk to him. I want to talk. I want to pray. I want to seek. I want to ask. I want to thank. Because there's three things that I do know concerning prayer. Number one, the regenerated saint of God believes that God hears his prayer. This is not just a formal exercise of a dead heart. It's real. This is real. Someone says, well, sure, it's real. It's real. In 2 Kings 19, there was a king whose name was Hezekiah. 2 Kings 19. And this king received a letter from an evil king, Sennacherib. And Isaiah the prophet told the servants of Hezekiah in 2 Kings 19:6. Isaiah said unto them concerning the letter that he had gotten. He said, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast, a breath of pestilence upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. That letter that Hezekiah got is recorded in 2 Kings 19, verses 10 and 11. Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? The Lord said concerning that letter that was sent by the king of Assyria, they blaspheme me. And Hezekiah took that letter. The scripture says, and starting in verse 14 of this same chapter, received the letter of the hand of the messengers, and he read it. Now that letter was a letter that was read by a king, by a man that was alive. He was living. We're in a vapor of a time. That's what the scripture says. This life is but a vapor. And we're right here for right now. And he was right there for right then. And he was alive. And that was a real threat to him. It was a real letter. It was a real trial. It was a real tribulation. It was a real testing for this king. And he read that letter, and basically this is what it said: you surrender or else. And the scripture says that Hezekiah, in the latter part of verse 14, went up into the house of the Lord, and he spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. Let me just inject this for just a moment, if I may. You would think, well, Hezekiah, do you think that the Lord couldn't bow down his ear? Do you think that Hezekiah, the Lord, couldn't open his eyes and see? Don't you realize, Hezekiah, that God Almighty is sovereign in all things, that he does as he will? He was a man that was between a rock and a hard place. And Almighty God, by his good providence and by his sovereign mercy and grace and compassion, hemmed this man up. And Almighty God was going to bring honor to himself. And he put Hezekiah in a place to where Hezekiah, who knew something, obviously, who God was. Thou alone, all the kingdoms, you made heaven and earth. Lord, your God, bow down thine ears, thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes to see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. One would ask, well, surely there's no need to ask because God is sovereign and he's going to do as he will. Ask. You have not because you ask not. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations of their lands and cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou alone. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I heard you. Do you know how wonderful it is to know that he hears? It's not dead. He actually hears. A believer believes that. Secondly, we believe when we pray that God cares. He cares for those who have everlastingly been the objects of his mercy. He cares. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth, he's concerned for you. Almighty God is the source of our help. Casting how much care? All. The Lord Jesus in John 10:13-15 says, the hireling fleeth because he's a hireling, and he careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. He cares. He cares. He who has everlastingly stood in that eternal covenant of grace. He who has everlastingly answered for me. He who laid down his life for the sheep. He said, cast all your care, because he cares. Stop and realize, he who spoke. David said, when I consider the heavens, who is man that thou art mindful of all of his people? In this world, at any given time, when one is brought to feel their need of him, and to our shame, how seldom, to realize that we pray and he hears. And he cares. What comfort that is. Because my burden is his burden. He careth. He's concerned. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And to know He cares. And that I can approach Him and ask Him, Lord, help me. I confess unto You. I know the frailty. Lord, I confess I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what to ask. Lord, help me. Lord, I have this burden. And thankfully, You have brought me to this place to cause me to cast myself upon You. And I know You care because You said You do. Thirdly, we believe when we pray that God is able. Knowing that He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly all. Almighty God, able to do according to His will all that is profitable for the eternal and temporal good of His people. This king, what did he do? He did all he could do. Cast himself upon God Almighty, believing all the while that God Almighty was going to do exactly as He said He was going to do. Lord, would You bow down Your ear to hear, Your eye to see? 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. He who predestinated us according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Paul, back in Romans 15, said to this, said to the church at Rome, strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Be my companion in agony. Strive together. This life, it's a struggle. It's a warfare. Paul said in Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a wrestling. Genesis 32, a man named Jacob. Genesis 32:24 was left alone. I said, I mean this. Oh, the blessing of being set alone. Where Almighty God puts a man, where God's going to deal with him. He was left alone, hemmed up. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. The hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him, strived with him, in agony with him. And he, that is the man, the Lord himself, said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, oh, how these words just, my heart rejoices. Hear the Lord who said, I will never forsake you. I'll never leave you. And the Lord said to Jacob, let me go. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Let me go. Let me go. Not unless you bless me. I can't. The Lord asked his disciples after some wouldn't follow him anymore. He said, "Will you go away also?" And Peter said, "Lord, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. We can't." Turn with me to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. I know how familiar you are with this passage of Scripture, but we're not familiar enough. Ezekiel 36. Here's the sovereign God. God Almighty. God who will do as He will. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean." The blood of Christ. "From all your filthiness, from all your idols." I love God Almighty speaking in His sovereign, distinguishing grace to His people. "I will sprinkle clean water upon ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And you shall be my people. And I will be your God. And I will save you from all your uncleanness. And I will call for the corn. I will increase it and lay no famine upon you. I will multiply the fruit of the tree, increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your evil ways, your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities, for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Almighty God has promised what He's going to do. He will do it. He said, yet for these things will I be inquired of. You will ask. The Scripture clearly sets forth, Almighty God is God, and we ask. You say, it seems as though to me, that's not the issue. He said, you will ask. You have a faithful pastor. He's been my friend a long time. Do you believe that God's called him to pastor this church? I know you do. Do you believe that the Lord's going to teach him? I know you do. Ask him. Lord, would you teach our pastor? Lord, would you hold him by your everlasting arms? You say, well, he's promised he's never going to leave him. He's never going to forsake any of his people. You ask him. Do you believe that God's going to bless the assembling of his people together? Do you believe that he's in the midst where two or three are gathered together in his name? You say, well, absolutely, I believe that, because he said he would. Ask him. Lord, would you meet with us this evening? That is absolutely consistent. You say, but it seems as though that it's consistent with his word. You ask. I will and you shall ask. I will bless you. And I will be inquired of. Paul's confidence was founded upon God's word. But I'll tell you this, the Apostle Paul was taught by the Spirit of God something of the means of God Almighty blessing through prayer. And if it was not so, Paul the Apostle would have never asked the church at Rome, strive together with me in prayer. Pray with me. We ask him who has absolutely said, I will do all my pleasure. It's honoring to the Lord. I can tell you that. It's honoring. And it is obedient on our part when we ask. And it unites us in honoring him when we pray to him for one another. Pray for me. But while the Apostle Paul requested the fellowship of prayer, it wasn't for his good, it wasn't for his honor that he asked these things. Back in Romans 15, he said, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, not for my sake, for his sake, who is worthy of all honor? The 24 elders cast their crowns in Revelation before him and he who had taken the book. And they said, thou art worthy to receive all honor, for thou hast redeemed us. Who is worthy? Paul says, I'm asking you, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the love of the Spirit, I'm asking you to pray with me. Pray with me, pray for me. Who is worthy? He is worthy. Who has everlastingly stood as our surety? Who's worthy? Who came into this world as our federal head, as our representative? Who was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him? For whose sake? For his sake. Who but the Spirit of God powerfully blows as the wind? We don't know where he comes or where he goes. But he's going to call out all that everlastingly have been loved and given to Christ. Loved of the Father, given to him. Do we believe that all that the Father hath given him shall come to him? We say, absolutely, we believe that. Lord, would you save my kids? Lord, if it please you, would you save my grandchildren? There are those in my family, those in my neighborhood, they show absolutely no interest whatsoever in the gospel. Lord, if it please you, would you show mercy? Someone said, well, he's going to show mercy. I'm going to ask him. By the grace of God, Paul said, I am what I am. There's no merit in me. All honor is due him. Strive together with me. And the Lord places not only the burden to ask, but he places also the burden that you ask. That which you're praying for. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He places within the heart of his people that for which they ask. And they do ask according to his will and purpose. Paul asked three things. And while we look, as we start to finish this little passage right here, I want you to look at the things that he asked. Specific things. I told Brother Todd, I saw in this passage of Scripture, a lot of times we'll say to someone, pray for me. If you have something on your mind that you desire someone to pray with you, strive with you, share what you can. Share what you can. I understand there's some things that that are better left unsaid. I understand that. But I'll tell you this. You share what's on your heart as you can for God's honor, for your good. Paul asked three things. First of all, he asked in verse 31, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think that the Apostle Paul knew, as we quoted the first scripture a while ago, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Do you believe that the Lord hedges his people round about? That's what Satan told the Lord concerning Job. You hedge him about. I can't get to him. Do you believe that Paul knew that until God Almighty was ready for him to leave this world, no one was going to do anything to him outside of God's purpose and God's will? Do you believe he believed that? Sure he did. You believe that? Sure you do. You that believe, you believe that. I'm here. This is the day that the Lord hath made. He's ordered it. That which comes my way, that which crosses my path, the lot that has fallen upon me. This is my lot. David said, it's good that I've been afflicted that I might learn thy statutes. It's good. This is the Lord. It's the Lord. Let him do that which seemeth to him good. Lord, would you help me in mine infirmity? Lord, if it please you, would you heal me according to your will and purpose? Paul said, pray with me that I might be delivered from those that believe not. Secondly, look what he asked, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. He had, back in verse 26 of this chapter, it said, it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. And that he had a gift. He had a monetary gift. And it was from a Gentile church to the church at Jerusalem. And you say, well, I know this, but there's no way in the world that a believer or a believing church would not be gracious in accepting a gift. This was from a Gentile church to the church at Jerusalem. You say, but they're all believers. And we'll always be gracious to each other. And we'll always see each other in the best light. And we'll always be thankful to God for that which He has done for all of us. And we'll have no prejudices whatsoever. Paul said, pray that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. There's enough rebellion in all of us. I don't even have to finish that statement. You know. Paul said, would you pray that the church at Jerusalem would accept this gift from this Gentile church and that they would accept it? And thirdly, he asked in verse 32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may be with you and be refreshed. Would you pray that the Lord would allow me to come and visit with you, and He would allow us the privilege to be able to meet together? And you say, well, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God is going to put His people just exactly where He's going to put them. You're right. The apostle says, would you pray that God would bless that our paths may be able to cross, that we can have some fellowship. There was a time that Paul was going to go to Bithynia. He purposed in his heart he was going to Bithynia. And the scripture says, but the Spirit suffered him not. Paul said, pray with me. And he asked specifically. We've been sent to preach the gospel. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. The reason we do that is because He has commanded us to do it. You go into the world. Preach. Jews, Gentiles, preach to them. God's going to save His people. God's will is going to be done. There's not going to be one of God's sheep, one of God's elect, one that God Almighty has eternally set His affection, His love upon. Not one of them will be lost. And the Lord prayed in His high priestly prayer, Father, I will that where they are, that where we are, there they may be also. I will. Father, keep them. Keep them through Your word. They're not of the world. They're in the world, but they're not of the world. I read the words of our blessed Savior in that high priestly prayer. And I read the words that He prayed. And I'm thankful. Because of all those that He's everlastingly loved, He said, I pray for them. And for those that will hear through them, He prayed. Pray. Ask Him. Ask Him to do that which He has eternally purposed to do for Christ's sake. Now the God of peace be with you all. The Lord said, I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace. I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. The God of peace be with you all. The God of all blessing be with you. He who does all things well be with you. He who said, I'll never leave you. The God of peace be with you. Christ, who has made peace by His blood, be with you. Strive together with me. God has ordained it. The Lord said to Peter, Satan hath desired to have you and sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you. I've prayed for you. that your faith fail not. And knowing that his prayer, the Father, that's what he said, Father, I know you always hear me. I think of that thief upon the cross that one moment was railing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And I mean, you just, as you read the scriptures, you can just truly see, as Peter said in the book of Acts, seeing the grace of God. You can read in one of the gospels there where both of them were railing on the Lord. And then one of them said, we deserve what we're getting. This man has done nothing. And then he said to him, Lord, when you enter into your kingdom, will you remember me? And I think to myself, here is one, based on the words of our master. He said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. And I think, knowing what I know concerning God's sovereign grace, he who everlastingly knew is known, knows all of his people, who has always remembered them in mercy. He's always remembered them. And here was one that said, would you remember me? I can enter in knowing that the God of all hope remembers, always in mercy, always in love. I've always loved you. But I can say to him, ask him, Lord, would you have mercy on me? Do you remember me? That is the sweetest request that a sinner would ever ask the Master. Would you remember me in mercy? Lord, you said you came into this world to save sinners. Would you save this sinner? Lord, would you have mercy on me? Last verse of Scripture. 1 Samuel 12. People had asked, told Samuel, we want a king. And Samuel told them, God is your king. They said, no, we want a king like everybody else has got. And Samuel said, the Lord has said, this king's going to abuse you. I'm just telling you what he said. He's going to take your lands. He's going to take your kids. We want him. And the Lord gave them what they wanted. And now, they've seen something of the fallacy of their ways. 1 Samuel 12, verse 20. And Samuel said, after the Lord had brought them to see what they'd done. Samuel said unto the people, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. It is absolutely a settled truth in the heart of God's people. As we said at the beginning of this message, Almighty God is going to do that which God Almighty is pleased to do. But God forbid that we should sin against the Lord in not praying for each other. Amen.